Sounds on Vinyl, the show where a couple of guys drink from the horns and celebrate listening to the best music on vinyl. And now, here are your hosts, Mike and Phil.
Hey, welcome to the Sounds on Vinyl show, the only show on the planet that will make your fucking ears bleed. You know that. We all know that. It's a thing. This week, we're going to be doing a record, and I have no idea what Mike thinks about this record. He's not heard this record before this show, preparing for the show, so it's going to be fun to see what he thinks. And that is Mike Svensson over there next to me, lead singer extraordinaire. I am Phil Boyer, and I'm totally butchering this opening, but we're going to go with it because
that's how we roll.
That's how we roll.
How we roll, man.
That is.
Whiskey and we roll.
Whiskey, that's it. Yes. There we go. That belongs on a shirt.
Yes.
Yes. Speaking of shirts, we were talking about a shirt idea that we may or may not do, but I'm not going to reveal it here, but let's just say it's going to be fun if we do.
Yeah.
And maybe we'll do a giveaway on the show or something. I don't know. I'm just thinking out loud at this point. Mike,
is this the part where I supposed to say something?
Tell us about what's going on with the record store.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I got a record store. Yeah. Almost forgot. No, I didn't. Oh, okay. Have I drunk some whiskey too? Yes, I am. No, I don't know. I don't know what's going on.
It was a long night last night, man.
Yeah. But you had a long night.
Yes.
With fireworks.
We're recording this the day after 4th of July here in the United States, and the assholes around here decided to light fireworks all night. So I am on like an hour of sleep, so that's I can't even think straight. It's a good thing I've got notes, because otherwise I'd be like, okay, I'll be talking about, you know, a completely different record right now. I'll be having flashbacks to the Megadeth episode. And
oh, my God.
That would be...
not good.
Anyway, Mike, you're
yeah,
you got some stuff. Well,
I got some stuff, but I got to tell you a story, because there's a lot of people that I get to meet, a lot of great people at my store, which I think it's funny. It's why I'm doing this, because I so much enjoy talking to people about music and having a cup of coffee and when there's a chance, sitting down in the lounge area and just shoot the shit. But I got to tell you a story about this guy that he's a regular at my store. And there's another record store in Malmo, Sweden, that has a thing they call the Teenage Kicks, which is sort of like when you help out teenagers that saved up enough money so they think that they could buy a record. Because this started at a record store in Malmo called Rundgång. It was sort of like there was, I think he was like 13 or 14 years old, and he saved up to go buy the latest Lana Del Rey record or something like that. And he sort of saved up like $35 or something and went to the store and was really happy. And it cost him like $45 or $50, because new pressed vinyls are ridiculously high in price. So it was fucked up. So the store owner decided, well, you can have this album for $35 because that's what you saved. So he urged all the record stores in Malmo to do the same. And I went a little further and I said, every youth under 20 years old gets a discount at the Sounds of Mine record store. And this guy, who is a regular, he listened to our podcast, and we mentioned this before. So he went like, "Oh, if this is something that I can contribute to, I would gladly take the amount of what I've paid here today for my records and add 10%, and you can use that as a thing where you can pay from that money to help out these kids when they want to buy a record. And I thought that was like a fabulous idea. So he did. He paid an extra 10% from all the stuff that he bought. He bought a pile of records, and he said, "You can use that as a pot. Then you can sort of like a pot of gold, if you know what I mean. You can save that up, and you can distribute that to kids." Because I remember, he said, when I was a youngster, having a hard time getting enough money to buy records. And if there is a thing that I could do to help out, I would gladly do it. So, and I urge everybody to do the same thing. And I thought that was, I was totally blown away by Digester. I mean, it was, mm-hmm. I give the kids 10% off and or whatnot when they're in the store, because I too want them to have the experience to be able to afford an album when they buy one in my store. So that was great. I mean,
that's awesome. That's, yeah, really cool.
It is. So that was when the world looks like it does these days, you mm-hmm. go around and these are the stories that pick you up, if you know what I mean. It was so great. So mm-hmm. So that's and awesome. There, yeah, and there is, I mean, it takes a while to I mean, I've been opening my store has been up and running since March 4th, I think. Yeah. So it's like 3 months. So it takes some time before people finds the store and the world goes around. But it's sort of like to start off like this, having people come in and share stories and contribute and having a cup of coffee. And we talk about music, all kinds of music, which I think is it's really great. So I'm happy about this. I'm happy to be a record store owner and shoot the shit with people and drink some coffee and play records.
There you go.
That should be on a regular basis, but it's...
Yeah. Well, you know. Yeah. No, that's cool.
It is.
Awesome.
It's a great story. And now, another great story, the album.
The album.
Phil.
Yes. Yes, maybe. I was actually kind of surprised when you're like, yeah, "Hey, I picked this record to do," because we weren't sure which one we were going to do this week, and then you picked this one, and
yeah,
this was it was kind of a shock for me. The I first heard of this band, my friends and I, back in 87, 88, I think it was 87. We ditched school, and because we wanted to go see Motley Crue play, I want to say it was the Whiskey. And I think I've told the story before on the show, but so we did school, we go up to the Sunset Strip and we're trying to get tickets. And unfortunately we were too late. We couldn't get tickets. So we didn't get to see Motley Crue, but we're like, fuck it. We're up here in Hollyweird. Let's just hang out and see what kind of trouble we can get into. And we go into this one club and there's this band playing, not really paying attention, but it kind of sounds like this AC/DC kind of tribute band. And then we're like, wait a minute, I don't recognize any of these songs. And sure enough, it's not an AC/DC tribute band, but it's this band called Dirty Looks. And so we work our way up to the front and, you know, leaning on the stage. And I thought these guys were really good. We were having a good time listening to them. And then a few weeks later, I think their album came out or it was already out, and we kind of discovered it and listened to it. And it was a really great record. So today, we are going to talk about Dirty Looks, Cool from the Wire, their debut record, which did come out in 87, January of 87 here in the States, if I can read my notes correctly. And so, Mike, you admitted to listening to every song, start to finish. I feel like you said that because it was a struggle.
I just want to take a moment here and I grew up in the southern parts of Sweden, and if there was a show that you could go to, you had to wait around for like 6 months to a year. You bought tickets and then you waited, and all of a sudden you got this story from 1987 where, hey, me and my friends, we went out to the Sunset Strip in Hollywood, man. We tried to get into Motley Crue. We couldn't. So we went to a different venue.
We just hopped around, man. We just kind of got into trouble.
I mean, shit, there's a difference between a 15, 16 years old in the U.S., in California, and in Malmo, Sweden. Jesus Christ, man. Yeah. Okay, that was a side note, but still, yeah, I listened to the Dirty Looks album from start to finish because you talked about this album on and off for a couple of years, and finally I took the time to listen to it. And I have to say, I did listen to it back to back just because it meant so much to you. And your experience, because I've heard this story before, but I'm thinking that if this means so much to you, then I owe it to you to listen to it back to back. So, you know, you want to go.
So track one. Cool from All the right. Wire, title
cool
track.
Cool from the Wire. Okay. So I have written down my notes old school because they're in my notebook here, because that's why if you're watching YouTube right now, I'm looking here. So because I really dig the beat in this one and the groove. It has a really good chorus, and overall I think it's a great song. I like the beat, the riffs, and whatnot in there. So yeah.
Okay.
Cool from the Wire.
Okay. Yeah,
I think cool.
Yeah. nice.
No, bad pun intended.
Yeah, I think if you've never heard Dirty Looks before, I think this is a great introduction to them and this record in particular. Their second record is a little bit different, and it's if I'm being honest, it's not that great.
Okay.
They sort of pulled a Guns N' Roses in a way where Appetite was so great, and then their second record is kind of like, not as great. I'm with you. It's got a good riff, good beat, good rhythm. It's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
All right, track two. It's Not the Way You Rock.
It's Not the Way You Rock. Cool guitar loop that goes straight through the whole song, a little more heavy drum beat, I think, on this one, which I was a bit surprised to hear. The rhythm section is like Easy Dizzy for sure, because I get the reference there. Overall, it's really cool. I've written down. Overall, it's really cool. So cool guitars, more heavy drum beat. Overall, a really good song.
Yeah, I'm with you. The riff is really it's really awesome. It's simple, but yet there's something about it that just makes it really cool.
Yeah.
I think the song overall, it's sort of got an anthem feel to it, but it's sort of, you know, like, it's not the way you rock, it's the way that you roll. It's almost like inspirational.
Yeah.
Which is not something you'd expect from a hard rock band, you know, which I thought was kind of interesting. And one of my favorite parts is the way it slows down right before the solo, and then it kicks in.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, we're talking about tempo changes with Megadeth, and this is how you do a tempo change.
Yeah. And it makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Megadeth, no, not so much.
Not so much.
Okay, moving on.
All right. Can't Take My Eyes Off You, track three.
Yes, I'm liking the heavier groove on this one. It's progressing. Song three, it's progressing here. I like the vocals better here. It tends to be he tends to be a little too much nasal, if you know what I mean.
Oh, okay.
For me, this is a really great chorus. I really dig this song. I had to listen to this one over again because it's got that heavy groove, and it's sort of like, oh shit, I hope they do more of this. And so I stopped, listened to the song, and I went right back and listened to it again before I continued. So this is a great song. I really like this one. Great chorus, heavy groove.
Yeah, the first time I heard it, I didn't like it.
Okay.
It's the more I listened, the more I got into the groove that you're talking about here. I'm not a big fan of the chorus. This is kind of one of my least favorite songs on the record.
Okay.
I do think that you mentioned Hendrick's vocals. I do think it saved the song. I do think his vocals are pretty good in here. Now, yeah. This one, when I was listening to this as I was writing my notes, I heard Eddie Van Halen in the guitar. The solo was very, very Eddie Van Halen-esque.
All right.
I thought. And I'm, the more I'm listening to this, I'm like, you know what? If you ever wanted to know what AC/DC would sound like if Eddie Van Halen was on guitar, this is it. This song is
this
it
is
right
it.
Here.
that's so much fun. Go.
Yeah.
There you go.
All right. Oh, Ruby, track four.
Yeah. Cool. I've written down cool AC/DC beat, like the guitarist part too, but it's way too much repetitive on the vocals and a bit flat. So okay, not so much. I'm guessing.
Okay, so you're not. Yeah, if I remember right, I think this was their first single.
Okay.
And I liked it at the time,
mm-hmm.
but it's one that I kind of skip.
Yeah,
like when I'm listening to it, I'll skip the song because, you know, it's just not one of my favorites anymore. I do like the way they kicked it off with the little mini solo though, like in the beginning, mm-hmm. it had like this little, you know. But yeah, it's not one of my favorites either. I'm with you on that one.
Cool.
Tokyo. Let's go to Tokyo. What do you think about this one?
I'm liking the vocals. It's way better when he sings like this, I've written down. He really comes through better this way. Great song overall. Cool beat and groove. And I dig the song structure.
Okay. So, yeah. Oh. Now, that's what I was thinking. Like, this is sort of a complex song in a way.
Yeah.
It's simple, but yet it's complex. See, I've got it. It's got a certain playfulness, but then it's also got a dark side to it. And then the way Hendrick sings it makes it a little more, adds another layer of complexity to it. It's almost like, I don't know how to explain it, but it's complex. Although even on the surface though, it seems simple.
Yeah. Well, since it was like a couple of days ago, I listened to
I wish we could play this stuff on the show.
Yeah.
You know,
I wish that too.
We could probably through, cause we're like educating it or whatever, but I don't know. Copyright law sucks. We can't, but it would be fun to like play this at least a little bit in the background and but we can't. But yeah, I think that this is one of my favorites on the record. I don't know.
It is really good. As I said, the song structure, it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. And it's funny because this is like the totally different. We have to mention it. I don't know why. Megadeth, because that's the last album we did. It's talking about complicating stuff. Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Yeah,
I mean, even though it took me a while to get my head out of my, well, you know, to listen to this album, it's sort of like, okay, I get it. I get it. I get why you dig this album. Not one of my favorites, but I get it.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy to take in. Well, it's a blueprint for how you write music, I think.
Mm, interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. Except for Wasting My Time, the next one. I think this should have been left off the record. I don't.
Yeah.
I mean, it's got a bluesy feel to it, but I think, man, I don't know. It grates on my nerves.
Yeah. Like the groove, but the nasal vocals ruin it for me. I've written down. That's about it.
Oh, see, now I think that this really shows his vocal ability in this one.
Oh, okay.
So that's interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, but see, you're a singer, and, yes. And this is what I like, because we look at this kind of from a couple different viewpoints.
Yeah.
Right. You can see and hear things that I don't.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, sometimes I think he tries too hard. I mean, it's sort of like, I don't know. But it's because it's funny, because I like when singers go. I mean, I love Cinderella, Badlands, Ray Gillen. But it's, there is more, because I took out the Badlands records because they're released sort of like in similar time frames, but it's Ray Gillen has a more like solely bluesy thing,
mm-hmm.
with the nasal vocals.
Yeah,
I don't know, and I don't know, but I should be liking this even more than I do. But it's okay. It's okay. Okay.
Yeah,
it's
like okay. I said, I think it should have been left off the album. Yeah, it's not one of my favorites, but. Put a Spell on You, track 7.
Yeah. Well, I've written down that the music is great, but the vocals not so much.
Okay.
It's sort of like more, it gets under my skin at this point.
Okay.
I'm really digging this, the music. I've written down the music, the beat, the drums, the guitars, the bass, the rhythm section is great, but the vocals not so much on this one.
Ooh, okay. So
yeah,
I think Henrik might be one of those guys that you either like or you don't. Kind of like, yeah. Eddie Lee.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, like you either like Eddie Lee or you don't.
Yeah.
And there's no like, oh yeah, okay, you know, maybe I like Tom Sawyer or whatever because it's not so bad in that one or whatever. But yeah, you and this may be that I happen to like his voice. I think I really like the way he sings, and the way he does some of that, like the old school what's it called, riffing, you know, like Sinatra used to do that, like doobie doobie kind of stuff. He sort of does a little bit of that, so he brings that old style back into this in a rock and roll kind of way, so I can appreciate that. But okay, all right, so the vocals sort of ruin the music for you, kind of like Megadeth.
Yeah, not the whole not on the whole album. I mean, just a few songs here and there. I mean, he shows, as I mentioned before, which song was that, and the number 3, I Can't Take My Eyes Off You. I mean, I dig the vocals there. He does a great job in Tokyo also.
Mm-hmm.
And Wasting My Time, not so much. And Put a Spell on You, not so much.
Okay.
So, okay.
Well, that brings us to No Brain's Child. And I'm guessing you don't like the vocals in this one either.
I haven't written anything about the vocals here. Heavy, cool beat, great guitar. Really like the chorus. Yeah, the screaming, though. the screaming. I didn't write the vocals. The screaming.
Yes.
Question marks.
Okay. Yeah. See, this is one of my favorites.
Yeah.
Top favorites on the record.
Okay.
The music is awesome. The lyrics, though, I feel like did Dave Mustaine come in and help with the lyrics, because it's a fucking mess. I actually went and looked up the lyrics, and I'm like, okay, maybe I'm just hearing things wrong. But no, I don't know what the fuck this song's about. It's almost like how you feel after a drunken stupor, or you know, like there's the lyric, like you're getting stupid and your twos ain't the same. The fuck does that even mean? I mean, is that like a Viking Scandinavian thing? Because the dude's Danish.
Oh,
the lead singer's Danish. So
Jesus, I didn't know that.
I was wondering if that might be, because like I don't even know what the fuck that means. I mean, I love the song; it's a great song, but I'll listen to it all day long. But
doesn't make any fucking sense. I mean, at the same time, White Lion, that must be around the same time.
Yeah. White Lion's first record, I think, came out in 86, maybe.
Yeah.
86, 87.
Yeah, because Mike Tramp is also Danish.
Yes, that's right. Yes. Okay.
Yeah. So the singer in Dirty Looks is also Danish.
Yeah.
Get out of town. I didn't know that.
Yeah. See?
There you go.
There you go.
Maybe that's why he's trying so hard.
I don't know, it's interesting. I don't get that he's trying too hard, and it's interesting that that's what you hear. And again, that could be that singer background that you have that I don't. I couldn't carry a tune if it was the weight of a feather. No. So nobody wants to hear me sing. Well, lead singer of all bands, past, present, future, obviously. I mean,
I don't know.
But yeah, I think that's interesting. That's why I kind of love doing these truck by truck deep dives, because it's the differences that we hear. Yeah. You know?
But I have to say at this point, I mean the band as a whole, I think it's really, really good. I dig the rhythm section. I mean, the drummer is tight as hell. Yeah, I mean, the beat is really good. The guitar players, and you can hear the bassist going off and with this thumping thing. I really dig the music. Really, really dig the music. So don't get me wrong. I don't dislike this at all. But it's here and there. I mean, we're breaking this down, right?
We're breaking it down, man. Yeah.
Okay.
And before we go any further, I want to apologize for my audio, because I'm in my office, still can't get into the studio, and there's been a lot of more than usual traffic out front. So I apologize if you guys can hear that. It's not optimal, but it's what we got to do right now. So.
And I'm not apologizing shit, because I'm a rock star. I do whatever the fuck I want.
Fuck that shit. You're not apologizing. I take my apology back. I rescind my apology, and if you don't like it, fuck off.
Oh, my God.
because we you know, here, though, I just want to say we like to get it right.
Yes, always. We do.
And
we do.
Oddly enough, that's track nine. Track nine. Look at that. What a segue. Right. What a first segue that was.
I didn't see that one coming, though.
Neither did she.
Oh, Phil Boyer, he's here all week entertaining you all.
That's right. Okay, that's right. Get it right. What do you think about this one?
Great intro. Guitars and vocals are way better. Really dig the chorus. As a whole, it's a great song.
As a whole, it's a great song. It's my favorite song on this record.
Oh,
I think the opening groove is just awesome. It's got the hell of a groove, and I love how the riff again, the tempo changes, the riff slows into the vocals.
Yep.
You know, and unlike that mess of a lyric thing with the song before it, this one, you know, it tells the story. You know, it goes back and it's got these two characters, and it goes back and forth talking about these two characters, and then you get to the interlude solo part, and it's almost like that's adding to the story too. You know, I don't know if it's like signifying a passing of time or whatever. And then the characters, they end up together, you know, it's a love story, you know, rock and roll talks about love, but usually in a sex way, not in a love way really. And so this is something unexpected as well.
Yeah.
Then as a fiction writer, I really appreciate how they put the song together, how the vocals and the instruments and the music and it all kind of work together to tell this story.
I agree.
I think it's a phenomenal song. You mentioned earlier, like, this is a blueprint of how to write music.
Yeah.
And I think that this song really, like, takes your statement and proves it true.
Yeah.
Like, definitely my favorite.
But I have to add, it's a blueprint for, I mean, writing music the way I want it to be. Because, I mean, I get stuff all the time from people that I know, and it's you're too much meat and potato when it comes to music. I mean, you should branch out more. But I come from like the bluesy stuff, if you know what I mean. Even though Kiss is not blues, man, but there is stuff in Ace Frehley's playing and the beat that they got going on in the early days. And then I move into Whitesnake and move into Bad Company. I dig Thin Lizzy. And so for me, and of course I like AC/DC.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, this is the blueprint, just to clear that up. So everybody listening out there, it's my fucking blueprint. So
it's the blueprint for what you want to hear.
Yes.
Gotcha.
Yes. Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay.
Cool. All right.
Track 10, It's a Bitch.
Yes. Also, he sings way better here. Overall, the band has a great groove. The guitar loop and the solo is really freaking cool.
Mm-hmm.
That's my notes for this one.
I think when I hear this song, this reminds me of AC/DC. And I think if you close your eyes and replace Henrik with Brian Johnson, I don't think you'd know that this wasn't AC/DC.
No.
In fact, it would be interesting to hear AC/DC cover this song. And it was never going to happen, but I would love to hear Brian Johnson do karaoke on this one. Because I think that would be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
All right. The last song.
The last song, yes.
Get Off.
The verdict is in.
Get Off.
Like the song structure, it's pretty much the same. I've written down AC/DC here. but it really doesn't matter because it's a great groove. They got stuff going on here. It's you can see the progression, and even though I've written down that it's back to the nasal vocals, I think he sings way better in these last three tracks. Really digging it. It says,
"Okay, I like the beginning. It starts out with the pounding drums and the screaming and."
Mm-hmm.
Then I feel like it gets repetitive.
Yes.
And then I'm thinking, you know what? They wanted to do 11 tracks. And so they just put this one together.
Yes.
Like it's just the same, like Get Off. It's the same kind of thing over and over.
Yeah.
I think it's a weak ending to what I think is a strong record.
I hear you, but there is something in there. Which I think it's the foundation of it all. I mean, I've written down repetitive AC/DC nasal vocals even better, but the song structure it's cool. It's the same thing, but I've written down in a parenthesis, but so is AC/DC.
True. Yeah. I mean, I think. To be clear, I think the vocals are repetitive, or the lyrics are repetitive.
Yes.
You make me want to go listen to the song again and try to block out the vocals to listen to the music behind it. Because I want to listen to more of the song structure on it and hear that.
Because when I listen to music like this, I don't tend to listen to the lyrics. I don't analyze this kind of music because not so great lyricists. So it tends to be in second chair, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, yeah.
So I can't remember what the dude is singing about, but I've never took a note on those 11 tracks where I said, oh, this is a great lyric.
Mm.
So, but okay. But it's the song structure, cool.
Yeah, I got to give that a second listen.
Yeah.
Now, fun fact, yes. they actually recorded a new version of this song on their 2010 release called Dirty Looks. So Dirty Looks had sort of an on and off again thing going on. They kind of disbanded at one point and then came back, and it kind of went back and forth. And I think their last record they put out was 2011. And then Henrik died, I think, in 2012.
Jeez. Oh my God.
The production is garbage. It's not even listenable. We talked about Megadeth's production last week. That was like fucking tits production compared to this. It's jeez. They put so much reverb on the vocals, so much echo that you can barely like understand the lyrics.
Jesus.
And it's just so, it's like, did you go into the shower and record this? Because it's so bad. Yeah. Ooh. But Dirty Looks was pretty good. I mean, throughout their whole career, they had some hits and misses like any band does. But for the most part, they stayed somewhat consistent.
Yeah.
Like I said, their second record was a little bit of a departure, and I don't know if that was the record company that made them do that. But yeah. So there you go. A little fun fact.
Yeah, cool.
Little fun fact. Overall score.
Overall score. Out of 10, I'm torn between like a 6 and a 7.
Ooh.
I have to go with, I think that the music in itself is really good. As I said, the rhythm section, the playing is stellar. So I have to go with, I have to say a 7.
7. Yes. Would it be fair to say the band gets a 7, the vocals get a 6, or would they give the vocals lower?
I can give it a 6. It's not all that bad.
Okay.
But it's nah. Okay. It's not for me.
It's not for you. Yeah. Not for you.
But overall, I think it's I was surprised though. Because I started to listen to it and then I got sidetracked, and so I thought, oh my God, this is going to be horrible. So then I sat down with my headphones and I really took it all in, and I wrote down the notes as the songs progressed on each and every track. So I'm thinking overall it's a good album. Very good band, good musicians, and I really understand why you think this is a really cool album. And with the experience, because I had similar experience with other bands that I saw live before they broke, and whatnot, then people don't get it. But when you have that feeling when you see them live. Mm-hmm. There's something there, and then you go back, and it's sort of like it's a remembrance when you hear the songs released, and you can listen to it on an album. Oh, I remember this one. This is, oh my God, I was standing there front and center stage, and he sang that one. I remember now.
Yeah.
So it's all that combined, I think.
Yeah, so. Yeah, and there is something special about seeing a band play on the Sunset Strip. I don't know what it is. I mean, you can't really put your finger on, but there is something that is special about that, especially when you're a 17, 18-year-old, and you know, you're like Axl Rose getting off the bus, and you're like, whoa,
man,
what's going on? You know? So that was fun.
Yeah.
All right. That was Dirty Looks. Let us know what you think. go to sonsonvinyl.com. You can leave us a message. Tell us what you think about this record, if you like it, who you agree with. And if there's a record you want us to maybe do a deep dive on, as long as it's not Post Malone, we'll be more than happy to do that. It's been a while since I got a Post Malone joke in.
You gotta have that one.
And we dedicated a whole episode to whiny bitch Dave Mustaine. So I had to throw Post Malone under the bus here for at least a couple seconds.
Oh, man.
But we got some more new music. What do we got this week?
Oh, Mike? Yeah.
We got play some them. Cool stuff.
Yeah, we play them before. It's the Wild Throats from Valencia in Spain, España. Hola, ¿cómo está? This is their new single, You Are My Witch, which is the first single out of the upcoming second EP called Leather Jackets and Motherfuckers. Well, there you go. And here you go. This is You Are My Witch with the Wild Throats.
I can see why it's called Leather Jackets and Motherfuckers.
If you're gonna name an album, it's this.
That's a great name for an album.
Leather Jackets and Motherfuckers.
And You Are My Witch. God, can you imagine like telling your wife that? You're my witch.
I really like the attitude that Wild Throats has.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
It's punk and roll, punk and rock and roll combined, and it's in your face. I really dig that. These are great guys from Valencia, Spain. Go check them out on social media. They're all over the place, Facebook, Instagram, and whatnot. And give them some love. The Wild Throats from Valencia in España.
There you go.
There you go. Hell.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They'll just come out and rip your face right off and won't apologize for it.
You see?
There you go.
There you go.
And that's it for this week. So any last words before we bail and go drink whiskey?
No, go spin some records. Let us know what you think about all the stuff that we got going on, and sign some vinyl. If you're in Malmo, Sweden, come by the record store, have a cup of coffee, share some good stories, and be cool to one another. Cool. Be safe.
Be cool to one another.
Yes.
Yes. There you go. Great way to end it.
Until next time. Later.
Later.
This has been the Sounds on Vinyl Show with Mike Svensson and Phil Boyer, produced by Boozhound Entertainment in cooperation with Boozhound Music. Intro and outro music by Dead Anarchy, courtesy of Shot Glass Records. For exclusive playlists, videos, and other extras, visit soundsonvinyl.com. Thanks for listening, and for all your motherfucking support.